For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good evening. I've been doing a series of talks some of the time on cases, stories from the Book of Serenity collection of koans or teaching stories. Thanks to Dylan for suggesting that. Tonight I want to do case 21, one of my favorite Zen stories. It's one that I've talked about numbers of times. Some of you have heard me talk about it. First spoke about it when I was Shusei Tassajara 29 years ago. It was the story I used for my Shuso ceremony. So I thought for my last talk before my sabbatical, I would talk about this story again. And it features two brothers, Yunyan and Daowu. Yunyan was the teacher of Dongshan, who was the founder of our lineage in China, and who wrote the Song of the Jewel-Bearer Samadhi we just chanted. So I'll say more about Yunyan, but first the story itself. As Yunyan was sweeping the ground, Daowu said, "Too busy." Yunyan said, "You should know there's one who's not busy." Daowu said, "If so, then there's a second moon." Yunyan held up the broom and said, "Which moon is this?" So that's the whole story. It's a wonderful story. Yunyan was famous as a Zen failure, Zhan failure. He studied with a few of the greatest teachers of in all of China's history and still didn't get it. So this was well known, and there's lots of stories about that. There's a chapter on him in my book on Dongshan, just this is it, which I'll refer to. But this is a story, I don't know, while he was still a student, a monk, that reveals Yunyan's amazing awareness. Anyway, he was sweeping the ground, cleaning the temple, something we do every Sunday, something that's part of the regular daily schedule for monks in training monasteries. And Daowu was his Dharma brother, but also his biological brother. There are many stories, many of the koans, about the two of them and dialogues between the two of them. But anyway, this time Yunyan was sweeping the ground and Daowu said, "Too busy." Yunyan said, "You should know there's one who's not busy." So that's an amazing statement, and I'll say more about it. Daowu said, "Hey, so if so, then there's a second moon?" Yunyan held up the broom and said, "Which moon is this?" So, I'll read the... there's a lot going on in the story, and we'll get to a little bit of it today. The introduction by Wansong to the case chosen by Hongzhe, they were both important teachers, and Soto teachers, Zaodong teachers in China. Having shed illusion and enlightenment, having cut off holy and ordinary, although there are not so many things, setting up host and guest and distinguishing noble and mean is a special house. It's not that there is no giving jobs on assessment of ability, but how do you understand siblings with the same breath, adjoining branches? So, there's just the basic question of what does it mean that there's one who's not busy? How do we see this? I think the story, you know, is especially relevant for us in our time and maybe for us as lay practitioners going out into our worlds of Chicago, in between coming here to do this meditation practice. and hopefully doing it at home regularly too. But all of us might at times feel like we're too busy. How many people ever feel like they're too busy? I didn't see anybody who didn't raise their hand, except maybe Ed. Oh, he raised his hand, okay. Yunyan said, you should know there's one who is not busy. This is part of what we learn by doing this practice of just sitting, being upright, allowing Buddha to be present on our seat. There's one who's not busy. This is kind of wonderful. And yet, you know, the one who's not busy, the one who's not caught by the conditioning of the world, by this, by the gain and loss and distinctions and dualisms of the world, the one who's not busy. Yunyan said that the one who was not busy was right there amidst his busy sweeping. Dao said, if so, then there's a second moon. So this is an important challenge. Is the one who's not busy separate from when you think you're busy, when you're working or studying or doing whatever you're doing during the week, when you feel like you're too busy? Is the one who's not busy something that only happens when you come and sit on your seat in zazen, or when you're not caught up in the affairs of the world? Is this a second moon? Is this a separate being? So this is an important question for our practice. Yunyan, amazingly, just held up his broom and said, which moon is this? He didn't take any sides. He asked a question, which questions are always in some ways more effective than explanations, certainly, or descriptions. So just a little bit from Wansong's commentary. These two old men feared that people would set up a reality body as apart from the physical body. So there's a story about a teacher and a Chan traveler from the south. And the teacher said, for us here, the Buddha nature is completely unborn and undying. Your Buddha nature in the south there is half-born, half-dying, half-unborn, and undying. And when asked what he meant, the teacher said, here we say body and mind are one suchness. There's nothing outside of mind. Therefore, it's completely unborn and undying, even in the middle of your busyness. You in the south say body is impermanent, while the spiritual nature is permanent. There it's half-born, half-dying, half-unborn and undying. So this is a fundamental issue. Is there a impermanent, changing body, physical body, subject to illness and old age and all of that, separate from a spiritual nature that's permanent? Are they separate? Is samsara separate from nirvana? Yunyan quotes, Yunyan held up the broom and said, which moon is this? And Wansong says, this expression originally comes from the heroic march scripture, the Surangama Sutra, which says, like the second moon, who will say it is the moon? Who will deny it? For Manjushri, only one moon is real. In between, there is naturally nothing that is or is not the moon. So, is there something that is, so the moon, you know, represents wholeness. When they talk about the moon, they're talking about the full moon. Although there's a whole dialogue between Yunyan and Dawu, maybe I'll get to that, about the full moon and the half moon and the new moon and, you know, different phases of the moon. But anyway, the moon represents wholeness. The moon represents awakening, fullness, totality. Which moon is this? So the commentary, the added saying for that is, Daoists said, if so, then there's a second moon. And Wansung's comment, only two? There's hundreds, thousands, myriads. So this planet only has one moon. But what about the moons of Jupiter or Saturn or all the other moons in your mind? Which moon is this? Can we live in wholeness where there's one who, where you remember there's one who's not busy? So I'll just read Hongzhe's verse out of respect, but I'm going to mostly talk about just some reflections on this basic story. But Hongzhe said, borrowing temporarily, Yunyan comprehends the gateway, realizing the function as is appropriate. Dawu then rests. So Dawu let it go when Yunyan said, which moon is this? The snake handler on Elephant Bone Crag refers to Yunmen. The doings of childhood seem shameful when you're old. So what about being too busy? How do we understand our busyness? Or how do we understand within our busyness? So one part of the commentary I wanted to add. There's this story that Wansung throws in here about misunderstanding this oneness of the one who's not busy in busyness, which of course we all do. But he tells a story about Xuefeng, who later became a great teacher, when he was studying with Dongshan, the student of Yunyan who wrote the Jewel Mirror Samadhi. Xuefeng was working, Seppo is his name in Japanese, maybe he was one of the Marx brothers, but anyway. Dongshan came by while Xuefeng, who was a famous Tenzo, he worked as a Tenzo in many temples, and Dongshan came by when he was cleaning rice and said, are you cleaning the grit, getting rid of the rice, or cleaning the rice, getting rid of the grit? Xuefeng said, grit and rice are gone at once. Dongshan said, what will the community eat? Xuefeng then turned over the bowl, dumping it all out on the ground. Dongshan said, you've got it all right, but you need to find someone else to teach you before you realize it. So, you know, if you think that the one who's not busy means getting rid of your practical activities, that's not it. There's another passage in here I wanted to read. That's here somewhere. I'll find it in here. So, the one who's not busy. What is this about the one who's not busy? So, referring to some of my commentary, and just this is it. In our modern age, many of us are preoccupied with multitasking. We can be inundated with information from all over the world, thanks to the internet and other increasingly speedy technologies. Some contemporary occupations and activities require responding at a pace that is measured in nanoseconds. So we can all easily feel too busy. Sweeping the ground, like Yunyan was doing, is not something that can be accomplished once and for all. New dust or falling leaves land on the path, it must be swept afresh. So even though we do temple cleaning on Sundays here, we still have to do it again the next Sunday. It's not like we do it once and you're finished. Same with Zazen, or like brushing your teeth. It's not something you do once and then you never have to do it again. There's no end to the dust, no end to sweeping. We may be unbothered by the dust and allow it to pile up for a while, but eventually spring cleaning will come around. We will need to pick through and brush away the detritus. Hopefully there will be another spring. You know, in our context, we might consider sweeping the ground in some mountain monastery as a soothing, relaxing, even pastoral pastime. You know, sounds very picturesque and peaceful. We may all reflect on whether we are too busy to appreciate the natural organic rhythms of our life, of the world, and of reality itself. So meditative attentiveness and settling offers us communion with something deeper, some deeper awareness of being not busy. The question is how to fully occupy and engage our lives. During our busy worldly life, we might check whether we also remember that there is one who is not busy. So the one who's not busy is not something we to discover or create, but it's already right here. Right on your seat, there's one who's not busy. But do you know it? Do you remember it? Can you feel it? Even when you go out and go to work or deal with the people in your life. So Dawa was concerned that his brother monk was distracted by his work from inquiry into the great matter of life and death and from expression of fundamental reality. So part of our work in our sitting, in our practice, in our life is to open up this deeper reality. But Yunyan was unhesitating and said, you should know there's one who's not busy. Even in the middle of engaging our active responsibilities, one may be somehow connected with something that is not too busy and serves as an ever-present inner resource. So in Wansung's commentary, he says, Yunyan and Dawu were illuminating the active conditions of the Dongshan lineage. Dongshan being Yunyan's student. This fundamental reality of the one who's not busy. He also says, this is the part I was looking for in the text, as you eat, boil tea, sew, sweep, you should recognize the one not busy. Then you will realize the union of mundane reality and enlightened reality. In the Dongshan lineage, this is called simultaneous inclusion, naturally not wasting any time. So on the Han out here, it says, life and death is the great matter, don't waste time. My teacher, Reb Anderson, in a Shosan ceremony was asked, what does it mean to not waste time? And he said, we waste time whenever we do not know there is one who is not busy. But then how does the one who is not busy function in the world? It's not enough to just settle into the one who's not busy. That would be the second moon. That would be something other than our lives. So Gary Snyder, the great American Zen pioneer, said that Zen comes down to two activities, Zazen and cleaning the temple. That's it. But it's up to us, each of us, to decide how widely the temple boundaries stretch. Are you still at Ancient Dragon Zen Gate when you're in the middle of your day at work? Is the Ancient Dragon Zen Gate there? Is your Zazen seat there? Is the one who's not busy there? While not busy, still we may extend our aware, helpful activity to respond to a range of situations in the world, even beyond our immediate surroundings. So there's much more to say about all of this. A little bit more. So Wansung again comments on Dawu's line, if so, then there's a second moon, with the added saying, only two, there's hundreds, thousands, myriads. Once we enter awareness of the differences, of the different kinds of beings, the different kinds of situations, there may be innumerable activities and our lives become fragmented. Might there be one not busy on each of those different moons? So again, Wansung says this expression, the one not busy, originally comes from the Surangama Samadhi Sutra, which says, like the second moon, who will say it is the moon? Who will say? Who will deny it? For Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom who sits in front of the Buddha on our altar, only one moon is real. In between there is naturally nothing that is or is not the moon. But we could also, you know, wonder, is there even one moon? Or are there hundreds of moons? Where is our reality? So just a couple of comments from Dogen about this story. Dogen quoted the story and said, who sweeps the ground and also sees the moon? Holding up the moon, his sweeping is truly not in vain. Within tens of thousands of moons is placed this moon. Although called the second, how could there be a first? So what is the nature of the reality of all of the different activities and awarenesses that happen within a week of our awareness? Another bit from Dogen commenting on this story. This is from an essay in his Shobo Genzo collection called The Moon. Dogen quoted a talk by Hongzhe, who wrote the cases and verses for the Book of Serenity, who said, the clear body and mind disperses appearances and embraces the moon at midnight. It is spiritually self-illuminated, vast, and always empty. Dogen celebrates this as an incitement to sustained practice. He closes by saying, why has our ancestor Yunyan's, which moon is this, suddenly appeared as a round sitting cushion? So this question, which moon is this, is your seat, is your posture, is your zazen practice. For Dogen, the realization of total non-duality and wholeness represented by the moon glows when expressed in upright sitting practice. But still, it's not just there. Dogen closes his essay by expressing his wish to support Buddha and increase the radiance of the moon palace and illuminate the darkness of delusion. He says, because of Buddha's majestic power, the palace is bright. 1,000 glorious rays appeared at once. Even if humans love the moon in mid-autumn, the brightness of the half-moon is boundless in the heavens. So there are many moons, many phases of the moons. And you know, this story seems to be pointing to the oneness of our activity and of wholeness, and remembering the one who's not busy. So just to consider the one who's not busy, even amid your busy activity, your so-called busy activity, your too busy activity, can some part of you, you know, you don't have to think about it, but just, is there one who's not busy in the middle of that? This is the challenge of our practice, and to not make it something separate. However, the second founder of Soto Zen in Japan after Dogen was a few generations later, named Keizan, very important teacher, not so much discussed in America, but venerated very much in Japanese Soto Zen. And there's a story about Keizan. So I'll mention this, and then we can have some time for discussion about the one who's not busy and the second moon. So one time Keizan was out walking with his one of his students, Gassan Joseki, who we're descended from also. Keizan asked, "Do you know that there are two moons?" "Do you know there are two moons?" Gassan said he didn't, and Keizan told him, "If you don't know there are two moons, you are not a seedling of the Soto succession." So here, much later than, you know, so Yunyan was in the 700s. Here in the 1300s, Keizan is saying, "Do you know there's two moons?" So, you know, we might say that the two moons represent the two truths in early Madhyamaka Buddhist teaching, the truth of the ultimate and the truth of the conventional. And that's certainly relevant to the story. The story is talking about how do we recall and express and embody the one who's not busy right in the middle of all of our activities. But Keizan said, "You should know there are two moons." So, well, maybe that's enough. You should know there's one who's not busy. And yet, is that one separate from anything else or all the other moons? So, lots more to say about the story, but I'll stop. Comments, questions, responses, reflections? Do you know there's one who's not busy? Michael, when you were sweeping the ground at Tassajara, did you know there was one who was not busy? That's a good answer. That's almost as good as saying, "Which moon is this?" Other comments? So this is the fundamental issue of our practice. Can we realize the one not busy, and then how is it present when we're not? Anyway, yes, Ishin.
So, the two moons. I guess I wonder if there are really two moons, or if we just lose sight of the one moon. And maybe that seems like a second moon. We have the choice at any time to be the one who's not busy in the middle of busyness, or we have the choice to be just totally busy. But maybe it's really just one moon.
Yeah, so when Keizan said, "You should know there are two moons," maybe he meant you should know there's one who is busy.
Yeah.
Or when one side is illuminated, the other side is dark.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's the same moon.
Well, I don't know, as Michael said. Yeah, this is the question. Belinda.
Thank you for the case.
Yeah, it's a great story.
So, I think the most busy is our mind.
Okay.
Mind, thoughts, mental factors, really fast.
Yeah.
That's real business. And it reminds me of what we do on Sazen. It's you let all the thoughts come and go and just be aware of what's happening moment by moment. And when you are on that moment by moment, then that really is. Because busyness, to me, is a concept of time.
Good.
But if you can stay moment by moment,
but each moment includes the whole of the past and the whole of the future and the whole of the present. Oh, good.
But my people will stay there more than my home is there. Don't. It's really. So this reminds me of another talk I heard on the parameter of patience. The teacher said, ultimately, what patience is there really is nothing happening. Nothing really is happening. And of course, many things are happening, but there's no trace for the wrong.
Yeah, I've heard that song, Heaven is a Place Where Nothing Really Happens.
Mm. So, yeah, just reminds me of this. We have links to our practice, links to this concept.
And there's nothing really, nothing to turn off. All the thoughts can be there. But, do we then just wallow in the one who's not busy? How do we take care of the world? And still, there's one who's not busy. Yes, Chris.
I always feel that, it feels to me that busyness being, is, I should say, sort of, yeah, in and of itself.
Mm. There's a lot going on over the course of a year for a tree. Yeah.
And I wonder if humans are uniquely busyfied in a way that we give birth to an idea of what it means to be busy, and therefore sort of pass judgment on ourselves that we are therefore busy, and maybe it's just a sort of kind of like the statement of heavily paraphrasing because I can't remember. But the statement of humans are, or beings are already awakened, they just haven't realized it, or they've forgotten, or deluded out of knowing it.
Yes.
Perhaps, you know, we are unbusy, we just happen to have this idea that we are.
Yes, and so we have some idea or judgment or feeling of there's so many, all the thoughts going on, as Belinda was saying in Zazen, or all the stuff that's happening in the middle of whatever activities we're doing, and yet you should know there's one who is busy. So there, it's not enough to just, I mean, it's tempting to just sit for, you know, 12 hours a day and just enjoy the one who's not busy, but that's not the point. The point is, how do we bring that into activity? So forget the judgment, not busy. Is there one who is, or in the middle of all of the activity required by a tree to take care of itself over the year, or by a human being to take care of itself over a week and take care of all the other people we're interrelated with? Is there one who's not busy in the middle of all that activity? How do we take care of that activity and not and still know that other side of the unconditioned? This is a real challenge. This is not this is practical matter. So yes, there's the side of it that is our judgment, as you were saying. Jamie, hi. Right.
it's not that there's like a moon here and there, it, like it's collapsing these things, which is to say like the phasal sense or the sense of time, that the moon does not rush. The moon is in some ways the like archetypical one who is not busy, even as it transforms constantly.
Yeah.
And that there's a kind of emphasis on the awareness of the temporal transformation, not a kind of like movement through time, which is to say I sleep and then I cook and then I sit and then I cook.
But are the two moons separate?
I mean, I think that at this point it becomes a linguistic play.
Well, okay.
That, like, in the structure of language.
I have to tell the rest of the story then, or this other related story, because you're hitting on that. So this is another story about Yunyan and his brother Dawu, see if I can find it. This is actually another case that we'll get to in the Book of Serenity. And this is a commentary into another case. And they're talking about aspects of the moon. So the verse commentary to this case by Hongzhi says, "One call and he turns his head. Do you know the self or not? Vaguely, like the moon through ivy, a crescent at that. The child of riches, as soon as he falls on the boundless roads of destitution, has such sorrow." That's a reference to the Lotus Sutra, but the point, let me skip to the part that I wanted to talk about. There's a question in the middle of that commentary about whether... So there's the full moon and there's the half moon, say. And so Yanshan was once gazing at the moon with his student Shandao, and the teacher asked, when the moon is a crescent, where does the round moon go? When it's full, where does the crescent moon go? Now, of course, as you were saying, this has to do with time, but actually the moon is just the moon. This is how, going back to what Chris was saying, this is just our perception, and what phase the moon is in is based on where the Earth is, and you know it's one moon, or is it? Anyway, when the moon is full, where does the crescent moon go? When the moon is a crescent, where does the round shape go? This is really a question about enlightenment and delusion. When we're only partially not busy, where does the one who's not busy go? When the one who's not busy is here, where does the one who's too busy go? That's the implication. And then there's a dialogue about this. So Shandao said, when it's a crescent, the round shape is concealed. When it's full, the crescent shape remains. So he was kind of emphasizing the unfull moon. Like, that's the reality. But then Dawu and Yunyan have things to say. Dawu commented, when it's a crescent, yet it is not a crescent. When it's full, it's still not round. So you can't stand anywhere. Did we ever really land on the moon? Yunyan, though, Dongshan's teacher, said, when it's a crescent, the round shape remains. When it's full, the crescent does not exist. So, you know, when it's a crescent, actually, you can sort of see the fullness of the moon, right? It's in shadow. So that's kind of true on that level. But Yun Yan, our ancestor in our lineage, says when it's crescent, when it's too busy, the round shape remains. The one who's not busy is still there. When it's full, the crescent does not exist. So anyway, that's another way of looking at it. So all of these old stories are just ways of talking about our practice. How do we deal with all of the busyness of our life? Thank you all for remembering there's one who's not busy, at least some of the time.